Happy Daddy's Day! We're all father figures to somebody. For comedian Bill Cruz, who was one of the first openly Latinx gay comedians on the comedy scene anywhere, you can call him Papi. COVID's been a tough gig for most comedians, and for Bill, now that live shows are happening, it almost feels like starting all over again.
Today, our dear friend comedian Bill Cruz joins us to take a look at getting his groove back this Father's Day and how folks are reacting to Latinx representation in films like In the Heights, West Side Story, Afro-Puerto Rican artist Macha Colón's Perfume de Gardenias, and the documentary Rita Moreno, Just a Girl Who Decided to Go For It.
Listen as we chat with Bill about starting all over again after COVID, how to win big prizes in Loteria, and how Hollywood handles the mainstreaming of Latinx culture.
Plus, Sesame Street debuts a gay same-sex couple.
Gay rumors on the Denver Broncos.
And Paris Jackson comes out as non-binary and bisexual.
Get it, they! I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Happy Daddy's Day, Mark.
Happy Daddy's Day to you, too.
Thank you.
Ahoy, hi.
Bill Cruz!
It's been a while you've heard that, huh?
It's
real nice. Thanks.
Not long enough.
How you doing, my friend? Happy Daddy's Day.
Happy Daddy's Day indeed.
Daddy's grown up and has a family.
I know, all grown out.
You have a whole family. You know, we remember you here in Chicago, Bill Cruz, as one of the first openly gay stand-up comedians ever.
You were the only one that we knew in, like, what was it, 2001, I think, yeah. When we first met you? Or was it 2002?
Yeah.
Right around there, yeah.
I remember you stand-up comedy in performance art venues because, you know, a lot of the opportunities for openly gay comedians weren't as fleshed out or as evolved. And I remember the audience is like, when's he going to, like, you know, pour something on his head or dress up in drag?
Why is he wearing a suit?
Yeah.
You used to wear a suit.
Yeah, I used to wear, like, the old Jerry Seinfeld suit with the relaxed jacket and tie and jeans. And, I didn't know what I was doing.
And then you're like, LGBT, what's all these people? I mean...
Oh my God, was that a recording of me? It was so accurate.
All these years later, you've blossomed and grown into this beloved comedy staple, a regular in Los Angeles, and you've sort of been a granddaddy to a lot of queer comedians.
Yeah, that's granddaddy. I don't know about you. Just age me, why don't you?
Happy Daddy's Day.
Happy Daddy's Day.
Happy Daddy's Day. Yeah, it's been a really weird roller coaster. I think of my years in Chicago fondly, and now it's just like you can't throw a rock in the city without hitting a gay comedian.
I know, it's wild. I mean, you left here 7 years ago. I was looking at the last podcast
did
when you were in the home studio. Now you've come back and you did, I know, at least one in person. Since
right, right.
Yeah, you left July 9th, 2014 was the podcast that we posted when we were saying goodbye to you. I can't believe it's been
that.
Adios, adios, mi borinquen querida.
Sunrise, sunset.
So how are you doing? Father's Day, we are all, our biological fathers are maybe gone, the three of us, but they live in us, and certainly our families are like, oh my God, I wish your father could have seen how much you look like them, you know?
Oh yeah, well, I always looked like my dad regardless. People used to, I mean, it was just like a spinning image.
And now you, you know, carrying your father's footsteps by making people happy as a performer.
Absolutely, yeah. He was a little jokester too, in a dad joke way. Definitely, he was a cut up. I wouldn't put him on stage, but
he's not funny family enough for gathering. Stage. But yeah,
you're like, right. Keep working on that. He's like, can I perform now? No,
but he's a cut. He'd be a cut up at family functions and gatherings. He'd have us all giggling with his dad jokes. It was good times.
And so now that you're sort of seeing this explosion in queer stand-up comedians and, you know, I mean, what do you make of all this? Like, you know, there's just so many you can't shake a stick at. In fact, to the point that now you can't be a comedian and be homophobic or transphobic or, you know.
Well, you can.
You can, but you're well, you on can. Fox News and nobody thinks anyone on Fox News is funny.
Yeah. actually, you'd be surprised. There's still a good running of clubs in America, some of it in middle America, some of it in southern America, that still live in the 90s as far as that goes.
Oh, my God.
That you is know, too things, crazy. And even here in Los Angeles, once in a while, you go to the certain suburb or a certain area of the city and you'll be amazed at what you hear come out of comedians' mouths. And I'm not what they would you know, I've never been what I would consider the, you know, PC police, but you know, I'll still not stand for certain things and have certain things be said about the community. But you know, you think at this time, especially if you're in your bubble, you're like, how can this still exist? And you're like, well, you'd be surprised. I mean, considering everything else politically that has happened in this country.
You say to them, this is the last time you're performing on an open mic night at Hooters.
Yeah, exactly. Not at Hooters, out on the patio at the Hooters.
Do you ever call them out on it?
It depends. There's certain, I mean, if it's an open mic, no, I'm like, you'll learn your lesson. You know, there's no point in, you know, there's nothing being done there. If it's a show, I'll let management know. I'll let them know.
Well, but there's certain etiquette. To hear your voice, you know, happy Father's Day. And I hope you're, you know, what is it? Child support payments are too high.
Well,
for all these baby comedians.
thanks to the stimulus package.
I just basically changed my name and address, and that's all you got to do.
I told him I was a gay comedian. I couldn't possibly be their father.
Or as Mark says, yeah, I may be your daddy, but I'm not sweet.
I have to tell you, you know, you're a funny comedian, but you also taught us some valuable life lessons, especially on like how to get a straight guy to do anything. You know, I've used that.
You have.
I've used your line. And you'd be surprised. You can get a lot of people to do a lot of little things if you use one of Bill Cruz's lines. Bill, you want to? Can you tell the audience what that line is?
Oh my! Just as long as you know, just as long as you say it's crazy. This is crazy. I can't believe this is crazy.
I can't believe you're taking your shirt off.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Let's get some
beer. This is crazy. This is crazy.
We're running come around in our place. Underwear.
That's crazy.
This is crazy.
You've got your dick in my mouth. This is
so outrageous. Let's go crazy.
Does it still work for you?
You know, you don't even have to anymore. Everyone's on the spectrum now. Like, even straight guys are just like, well, fuck it, I'm bi. Let's just do this. And I'm like, okay.
Really? Are you really seeing a lot of that breakdown?
I am. You was, and like, it's so weird how there's been this weird, you know, kind of depression in gay bars before the pandemic, where, you know, attendance was going down. Some gay bars are closing because so many gay people are going to regular bars now. And but then now I think you're seeing an opposite trend where so many straight guys are like, hey, let's get on the train. Let's go to a gay bar. Let's have some fun. You know, like, just I think that barrier. Yeah. Gay for a day. Fuck it. Let's try it. Let's
I knew the tide had turned when you saw like straight actors yelling at their managers to get them on RuPaul's Celebrity Drag Race.
Oh, exactly.
And you're like, and like, I'm reflecting on this and I'm like, they're that good that, you know, they're the kind of guys that like, they have a relationship with their girlfriend. They're well off. Their careers are going great, but they're just like, I want that extra spice.
Right.
And so, you
and
know,
some of it, some of it's gay baiting, absolutely. But, you know, if you drop a quote to some random, you know, journalist, oh, yeah, I had sex with a guy once, and then that's it. The thing catches fire. And not only in you know, as much in the gay journalism blog corners, but then it catches fire, like, oh, Fox News. And so, you know, it's just instant publicity.
Well, it turns women on, especially young women. They love gay sex because that's the porn they
consume. What is up that?
They like to see it happen. They're like, well, I don't want any women involved in this scene, just men.
Well, see, gender I saw is so lesbian. Limiting, you know? It's just a letter on your driver's license.
I saw lesbian porn once, and it was like the last scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark. I just started melting like a wax figure.
You're like, don't look at the TV set. Whatever you do, don't look.
Did you ever watch like those Cinemax, like those the porn that they would show on like Cinemax or Showtime at, late at night? And it was women like licking each other's breasts in a whirlpool for like 30 minutes. Like, that's all they ever did because they couldn't show anything. Yeah. So it was just tit licking. And you're like, what is going on? That
was because all I saw was just blurry lines. Like, yeah, we would just do the thing where we didn't have the channel, so we just went back and forth one channel to get that glimpse.
That glimpse. Of what is it,
what we, your family had Cinemax?
Friends did.
Friends did. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because we didn't either. Okay. We were like, but see, if you had the TV set, when you changed the channel, it would unscramble for a second and then scramble it. Yeah. So if you wanted to watch the adult films, you had to change the channel back and forth every little bit second.
And it'll go back and forth. Yeah, in Cinemax, we watched the Emmanuel movies, and Emmanuel just, you know, she basically fucked everyone. Yeah. So that was very sexy. Yeah. And then there was another one, and it was a three-way. Summer Lovers, my friend and I on Facebook, we still talk about Summer Lovers. It had a famous actor, and I forget who he is now. Maybe it was like Patrick Dempsey or something like that. I don't know. And then two women, and it was like the three of them and just had sex on this Greek island all summer. And we're like, ooh.
It's always a Greek island.
Yeah.
So are you coming out as anything more than you've already have, or are you pretty much good where you're at?
Oh, it's Peter Gallagher,
Peter Gallagher.
And Daryl
Mark, Bill has a very something very important to say.
So
no, I was more interested in what Mark was saying. Oh. Tell me more about the Mykonos.
It was Peter Gallagher, Daryl Hannah, and Valerie Kinnison. I don't know who Valerie Kinnison is, but you know the other two people. So, yeah. But no, do you want to come out as anything else?
Starting over. Everyone's starting over. Like, I haven't done comedy. I did comedy for the first time in a year plus.
Yeah.
This past Thursday. Because there was nothing to do. Like, I did a couple Zoom shows, and there's nothing more disheartening to a comedian than talking in a microphone and
Tell me about it. You know, I'm used to doing the podcast where at least, you know, Mark and I have each other.
I'm the
to
laugh.
Laugh
track, right?
Well, I'm laughing at your jokes too every now and then.
Well, you should. I'm funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So you're ready for your hot vac summer, is what you're saying.
I'm just ready. I told my friends, and I've had other comedian friends. We've had this conversation, and everybody's like, everyone's starting over.
Yeah,
it really feels like that. And I think it also, you know, coming out as a gay comedian who cannot, I have to start over in that respect too. There's so many gay comedians. That whole idea of gay comedian as a niche or a surprise is gone now too.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to kind of restructure how you represent your brand or vision of what your stand-up is coming from.
Yeah.
In a different way, because it can't be, oh, guess what, I'm gay. Oh my god, that's so weird, that's so funny, tell me about
that's
it.
So crazy.
Or you could start an OnlyFans and post shirtless photos, nude photos of yourself on Instagram, you know.
But you know, or just come out,
there's not enough
else.
Bandwidth.
We got to come out with something else, you know.
Oh, I'm still doing stand-up. Something. I'm just I might come out with a makeup palette.
But like a lot of makeup palettes, of the comedians that you came of age with, Cameron Esposito and Mateo Lane. I mean, you were, you know, the mama hen for a lot of these comedians. And, you know, a lot of them are also sort of reinventing their careers at this point. Like, everybody is starting from scratch.
Yeah. And so I'm
wife. Mateo has more pictures of himself in underwear on Instagram. I mean, it's just reinvention.
Oh, he's wearing underwear again? I must have missed that thing.
And believe it or not, it's like, I got gigs in drag, you know? And it's like, I'm just like, oh man, I have to find that wig. Oh man, I have to pull out that makeup. Damn. They got me doing like a drag queen loteria. So if anybody wants to hire me, like I got corporate gigs. And so I dress up in drag and I play loteria, and you know, I always win.
Bill, have you ever played loteria?
Yeah, in fact, we used to play it at school, and I was embarrassed by our set, so I had to take out the mermaid with the bare breasts.
Oh really?
That's from the game. So I didn't want to get in trouble at school.
What's the key to winning at Loteria? Do you
well,
have any
explain
tips?
What Loteria is first.
So it's like bingo. Oh,
Loteria, yeah. It's bingo for Mexicans, yeah.
Okay. And instead of spinning a cage with balls, it's a deck of cards.
Right.
And instead of numbers, occult. It's pictograms.
It's kind of like a Mexican version of the tarot.
Yeah, but it's still bingo. You play with pinto beans and try to get
You play with pinto
across.
Beans?
Well, that's how you can also do with coins or any kind of chip, you know, to mark the board. Because it's very beautiful. Like, they sell T-shirts and merchandise with El Diablo.
Well, the artwork from Loteria is the real key. Mm-hmm. Because it's very amazing, the artwork that they would put into these figures. Mm. And very traditional and, you know. And the way to win, the secret to win is to pray. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you you have a prayer?
Well, you got your rosary beads hat.
I hope I win. Please,
because I've heard that those Loteria games can get, they're more vicious than bingo, especially with the elderly.
Oh, yeah. Well, the elderly, they lost their minds.
Well, because I researched a little bit on bingo, and the key, one of the keys is you want to have enough cards, but not too many that you lose track.
Oh,
right. Because that's a,
Yeah, because otherwise you're
There's bingo savants out there. I remember as a kid, there'd be this lady who'd sit next to my mom, and she'd have 100 cards in front of her, and she wouldn't mark a single one. She'd just stare, and she'd shake her head, and then this card here, 32 bingo, second row.
Wow.
I
played bingo with my friend Kathy. She was a mom. She was a waitress at this restaurant I worked at in college. And so she got me really baked, and we went to play bingo. And I'm with one of those pens to mark these things. And I'm just I was just the bobbers. The blotter. Yeah, I was just lost. I was just I don't even know what's going on. I'm so high.
Well, that's the nice thing about playing Loteria is that you have the pretty pictures to look at. Mm-hmm. And then the pictures kind of inspire stories. They're El Diablo. That was the nickname of my ex-boyfriend. And La Chancla, it's my mother used to throw that at me all the time.
Do they have a chancla?
No.
No, they should. A chancla version.
Somebody made a queer version of Loteria with La Draga and, La Chancla and all these La Poppers.
La Poppers.
Los Poppers, no?
In Mexico, everything, if you're gay, everything's feminine.
Oh, everything's feminine.
But not anymore. Yeah. Everybody's non-binary. Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter, came out as not non-binary and says they have had sex with both men and women and non-binary and trans people. Good.
Get it, they.
Get they.
Get they. Oye, andale. Andale, they.
Did you guys change your pronouns?
I've always used all the pronouns in the call me Legion, for they are many.
You can call me whatever you want, Bill. Just don't call me late for the orgy.
There you go.
I was like, where's this going?
I think I might go with Los Poppers.
Oh, baby.
Te gusta poppers?
Do I sell poppers?
Do you like poppers?
I'm once in a full moon. They're not my thing. It's not
I can't do them anymore. I used to be a big old poppers pig when I was in my 20s. And now I swear to God, I'm going to get a seizure if I have
they can't get off unless they're using poppers.
I know.
Yeah, that's weird. I do more Popeyes than poppers.
Oh man. Last time you were in town, we went to Popeyes together.
It's a treat.
That chicken
sandwich. They have one here and
bomb.
You can never get to it. It's so packed here. Well, it's been closed forever too.
Yeah. Oh.
Maldito sea. So, how do you win at Loteria? For my friends who are listening, who are playing Loteria for pride, because some people do.
All three of you.
All three of you guys. How do you win at Loteria?
Well, it's the same. You get the lungs. You have to get the lungs.
So there's no secret strategy besides luck. Faith. And,
it's just,
Should I crack two eggs and put it under my chair or just one?
If you have a Jesus tortilla, then you laminate it and then you wear it a necklace.
When I was on that reality TV show in Norway, they had a bingo type game. Had, and it was all these Norwegian things. And so he pulled these cards out, and if it matched up, then you would you were the winner. Yeah. And the thing is that you won is that, and so, but the game was set up for me to win. So all of my castmates, because I was supposed to have my family experience that,
yeah.
You
know, okay.
For people that don't know, they give you a letter and they tell you about your ancestry in Norway. And so like when I won, they were all pissed because they knew it was a setup for me to win. So they just went through a farce and we were all hungover. We had gone to this like festival the day before. So we were up to like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and we had been drinking, and we had been dancing, and been going crazy, and so then we woke up the next morning. They're like, "We're gonna play this bingo game," like da da, and then I was just like, and it was set up for me to win, and they all just looked at me like, "I hate you."
And then the questions were like, "What's the capital of Illinois?" And Mark's like, "I don't know. I'm too hungover to remember."
It wasn't questions. They showed you pictures, and it was a picture of something Norwegian. And it had to do with your like where your family came from in Norway. So they had a picture of like a bear. Are there bears where you come from? They had a picture.
It wasn't like name this fjord or anything. No,
it was a picture of a cheese knife, and it was like the cheese. I'm not making this up. Was the cheese knife invented in the county where your family comes from? And the answer is yes. Norwegians have a special knife for cheese.
Was there there's one that was just Rose Nyland from the Golden Girls? Like,
no, but she is an icon for sure from St. Olaf's.
How do you say bingo in Norwegian?
Bingo?
I thought bingo. It was Bullshitsassen.
No, that sounds more German.
Bullshitsassen.
Norwegian's very sing-song. Like, you know the movie Ragnarok, right?
Yeah.
In Norwegian, they say like, Ragnarok.
Are they having like what is it, the whatever the show Fjord Brothers, I don't know what the show was called, are they doing like an All-Stars? Are you coming back for an All-Stars?
You know, there's been talk about it over the years and stuff like that, but I don't know, they did 10 seasons and they stopped production, so who knows if they're just kind of taking a little break and maybe they'll bring it back. It's a very popular show among Norwegians, but part of it too, it kind of felt like you were doing like a state sponsored propaganda, you know?
Yeah.
Norway is the greatest country.
And you know, and it is really awesome in many, many respects. You know, it has universal health care. It has a lot of equality, like the prison system.
Plenty of nighttime.
And sunshine in the summer.
Sunshine in the summer, but for most of the year, it is pitch black.
That's
outside.
When you go to Spain and play Loteria.
Loteria. Josh. That's, I guess, bingo, or Norwegians also like to say the word jackpot.
Oh, really?
That's what one blog says.
Oh.
But yeah, I think, you know, the secret to win Loteria is to stack the deck, to cheat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you can't do that.
How are you going to know?
Well,
we have to figure out whose card is whose cards, then you do that kind of thing. But it's got to be up on the up and up, because like these grandmas that go play this, they're going to know.
Oh, yeah.
They're vicious.
They won't have it.
No.
Yeah, because I remember as a little kid, like we'd go to the big bingo halls, and man, they were serious. And because my mom would be like, go grab the bobbers, and I would open the linen closet, and it'd be nothing but pillowcases and like thousands of these ink bottles that would just stain my childhood. It was horrible.
And it was bingo and then, or Loteria for you.
Bingo. And then you go to the big hall and then you pick out your either like these brown cardboard, you know, bingo cards with the red little tabs. And you'd pick out, you know, 5 or 10, whatever the special was. And then you'd play like 2 or 3 games with those. And then they would have the specials, which was on paper. And they would be like rows of 8 bingo cards on a single piece of paper. So people would be wandering around going, special, special. And so you'd have to yell special to grab that, and that'd be like a super prize if you got like a blackout.
And I had some friends in high school, girls who worked those bingo parlors, because they were often associated where I grew up with the churches, right? And so they'd make good.
Yes, churches and fundraisers. Yeah, and
they'd get paid like $1.80 an hour, and then the rest was like tips. And the people
would tip. Yeah, I don't remember tips. Oh.
How much did they make?
I'm not really sure, but it was pretty decent money. You
like
know,
if you're in high school.
If you're a 15, 16-year-old kid, you know, and you're working on a Sunday afternoon for 4 hours, decent money.
Well, they also had the pull tab kids. Mm. The pull tab kids had the buckets of the pull tabs, and they would make money for their charity selling those.
Yeah.
And then there was like a little white card, you know, pull tabs, like you see at truck stops.
Well, I've noticed that, you know, certainly with certain demographics, it's like, you know, gambling is very rewarding. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't really like get you anything, it's the hope, the excitement, the thrill of playing the game, you know. And certainly for a lot of people, Loteria is just something that like is for players sitting around a table. And it's just a chance to bond over a game that doesn't require a lot of focus. So you can have your drinks and you can chill out.
You gotta stay focused if you're going to win. You can't.
It's about the bonding. It's about the
conversation. Yeah. It's about the laughter. Because as a kid, gambling was a huge part of my growing up. Like, because we would play Loteria, or we would play, I don't know if you knew a game, Toma Todo.
No.
Oh, Toma Todo was this little Mexican game. You had a like a top, like a dreidel, and it had different sayings on it. And everybody would bring out their quarters or their nickels, and it would tell you what to do. So if you had to, it would be like there's a pot, and you'd have to start. You put five coins in the middle, and everyone would go around spinning the top, and it would tell you to put in one, or put in two, or take one, or take two. And of course, the one you wanted was Toma Todo, and that would be take all. You take the whole pot.
Oh,
and that was so much fun. So it's
very much like the dreidel.
Yeah, it's a dreidel, and it was just like the Mexican version.
So were these Jewish people in Mexico that brought it, or did Jewish people like borrow that from the Aztecs or something?
You know, I'm pretty sure it's probably universal. I think there's probably some kind of betting game with a top in all cultures if you look hard enough.
And now you just play Texas Hold'em, right?
Well, mostly blackjack, but I can't wait to get back to Vegas. I'm just like, my skin is crawling since they opened in June 1st, and they've got a new downtown casino called the Circa, which has the biggest sports book. And oh my God, there's so much going on with sports right now. Oh, my Broncos and everything.
I actually looked at the Wikipedia for Broncos to prepare for the podcast, and I was just like,
the Denver Broncos. That's the only thing I know about the Denver Broncos is that they use that as the fill-in-the-blank team in The Simpsons.
Oh, really?
And I think accidentally buy the Denver Broncos.
Well, they
Bill will know. Homer, he'll tell you right now.
Homer has gifted the Broncos by an evil supervillain after Homer quits. It was like a James Bond spoof.
Oh yeah, Scorpio.
That's the one. And then Marge is like, "Oh, you got a football team." And Homer's like, "Yeah, but it's the Denver Broncos."
Well, it was kind of a parody of like those internet startup companies that had all these like progressive, worker-friendly policies, but the head of the CEO was, you know, a James Bond villain, Scorpio.
Yeah. He had a doomsday device.
And he's like, it's just not working out. But he was like, it was the best job Homer ever had.
Aw.
Yeah, it's just the family wasn't happy. There was nothing for Marge to do, and Lisa was allergic to everything. And Bart was put in the slow class.
Do you have hopes for the Broncos this coming up next year? Do you think
no?
Are they fucked for a long time now, or what's going to go on? What's happening
for a good minute? Right now, the biggest thing is our quarterback controversy. We just don't have a good quarterback. There's no controversy. We picked up Terry Bridgewater from the Panthers this year, which is like but the biggest problem is our offensive line. If we can't protect the quarterback, they're not going to do well. And whether or not Terry Bridgewater, the big to do. Was that Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers MVP was like, I don't want to play for the Green Bay Packers anymore. And rumor had it he wanted to go to San Francisco so he could spend time more near his family. But then the Broncos kind of came up because San Francisco and Green Bay are in the same conference, and they didn't want that. Green Bay was like, well, we're not trading to a team that's going to play against us later. That's dumb. So Denver kind of popped up, and then rumors were swirling that there was a deal, and there's going to be a deal, and then watch this deal, and there's never been a deal.
So the real question people want to know is like, who has the hottest Instagram account?
Yeah, from the Denver Broncos, who's the hottest dude?
Yeah, because you know this.
You know which is the one
I
that
don't. Like, no, I'm not on Instagram very much.
Because wasn't one of those gay football players?
Tim Tebow was on there,
and the guy from The Bachelor.
No, I don't think The Bachelor guy was he.
He was a former football player.
Oh yeah, he was a former football player.
But he wasn't with the Broncos.
No,
but he's friends with Tim Tebow. And then there was rumors that they were like gay lovers.
Yeah, on the sly.
And now he has a show.
Well, Tim Tebow's back. Tebow's playing for the NFL again. Yeah, he just instead of a quarterback, he's a tight end.
He's playing for Florida, isn't he?
Carolina.
Okay.
I think that's right. I have to double check. I hate him so much.
What do you, I mean, why do you hate a God-fearing Christian who's...
He ruined the Broncos. He ruined
them. How did he ruin them? Was it all that praying?
Well, first, it's all the praying.
Yeah.
And he
so
comes,
praise comes good for Lotería, but bad for football.
he swoops into Denver, and everybody's like, oh, he's going to be it. He's going to be the next... And I knew immediately, like, he's one of the worst quarterbacks to ever play the game. And he was awful, and nobody would... admit to it. No, he's just, he's got God on his side and it's going to happen. And then he backed into the playoffs one year by meaning we didn't win to get in. Somebody else lost for us to get in. Mm. And then miraculously we win this first game of the playoffs and Tebow, it's him. He did it. And everybody's doing the Tebow kneeling and everything. And then he just collapsed and it was a disaster.
So how soon before Tim Tebow starts his OnlyFans?
Well, I think it's interesting. I think now that he's on back in the NFL, I think he's going to use that to then promote himself. I see him playing maybe 1 or 2 years, and then I think he goes into politics.
Well, he finally got married in 2020, so he's probably not a virgin anymore, right? Wasn't he saving himself
for
marriage?
Right. Yeah.
So he got married. But
I think that's why he wants to play football now.
Get away from
all
the
that
wife.
Testosterone working.
He married Demi Lee Nell Peters, who is a South African model.
Wow.
She's 5'5". He's 6'3".
Nice work if you can get it, Demi.
Right.
He's like, so how are we going to consummate this marriage? And he's like, you sleep in that bed and I'll sleep in that bed. He's like,
well,
oh,
see, my thought
damn
was,
it.
Was that Tim Tebow was straight, but that Aaron Rodgers was the gay one. And that this whole fiance, is just a...
Oh, we have heard some of those rumors, haven't we? Well, do you think anybody who's a major player in the NFL could come out without just, you know, and still have a career?
I think it'd be very difficult. I think it can happen. Still. I would say if you had asked me 4 years ago, I would say no way.
Yeah.
But I think now, I think it's possible. I think it's possible because I just think of the awareness that other things have come about since Black Lives Matter and the idea that... the NFL cannot be trusted in certain areas.
Sure.
From a player's perspective, I think if a player then came out now, I think that idea that other, I think there'd still be some issues with other players. I think he'd be targeted by other players on other teams,
physically,
if not his
right.
own. Right.
I'll like, tell
I think
you this.
I think if, his, uh-huh, the danger ahead. Of him getting injured would go up, but I think there'd be enough people to stand up for him and be like, he should be able to play. There's no reason why he can't play.
If the public stops seeing these games or stop paying interest to them and their money starts to dive, I can guarantee you one of these players will come out as LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Like they'll be like, Paris Hilton.
What if they had a whole team of gay people? It could be the rainbow team.
Yeah.
Or would that be San Francisco, right?
That's the 49ers, 69ers.
The Fudge Packers.
See, and I think you go rural. I think you go Buffalo. I think, you know, like a bunch of daddy bears up in Buffalo or Chicago would be great.
I went to the University of Texas at Austin, and I got to tell you, some of those football players are stunning. And they're big men.
Mm.
And so like they would sit in the bus and take up 3 seats.
Oh yeah.
You know, and you're like, damn, daddy.
When I worked at Michael Jordan's restaurant here in Chicago, most major sports players ate for free there. So they would come in. So a lot of the time these football players, they'd come in groups, and it was just I couldn't believe how large they were. And then the women they married were also large and their offspring were enormous. It was just like, wow, these people are big.
Yeah, I remember I went to the University of Colorado Boulder, and some random weekend we went. My friend was like, "Hey, let's go to this party," and I'm like, "Okay." And so we go to this house. I'm like, "I don't know where we are," and I didn't know anybody there, and it was empty. I was like, "Are we early?" And then the football team showed up. It was their party, and I was like, "Oh my god!" Like just it was like a stampede. It felt like that stampede where just guys are just, "Oh my god!" And then I happened to be unexpectedly by the keg, like filling a beer,
surprise, like, surprise, hello? Bill's drinking. That's
so crazy. And I'm standing there, and they're just looking at me, and they're like, kickstands. And I'm like, I beg your pardon? And I was, you know, I was still a big dude back then, and one, it just took one guy to grab the bottom of my leg and flip me upside down and hold me. One guy.
One guy.
And I'm doing a kickstand.
With the football team. Well, aren't you a hot bitch? Super.
Oh, yeah. No, I was, I kept drinking and drinking all that beer, and then finally I'm like, okay, let me down, please.
And then
I was
you.
Like, I was, and I was, yeah, within 10 minutes, I was like, oh, we got to go.
People are always like, I could do that if I worked out. I'm like, honey, there's a long chain of circumstances that led that individual to having that physique. Mm. And we are living different lives, you know, and certainly, like, I'm no stranger to the gym, but I have no.
You couldn't do a handstand.
I used to be able to do handstands in my 20s, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, now I'm 39. Okay, 49. And, you know, and so it's a little bit more difficult, you know, and certainly people have different lives. And it's great to see, you know, I think a conversation about equality and diversity and acceptance happening everywhere. Mm. You know, and certainly, like, Bill, you're a big musical theater fan.
I would say decently, yeah. The drought's been killing me. I've just been rewatching old Tony performances for like the past year, just crying at every. Aww. Oh, I miss ragtime.
Well, this year is going to be a huge year for Puerto Ricans and queer Latinos in film, with the minus the queer stuff. But it's West Side Story is going to be made into a major motion picture by Steven Spielberg.
Have you seen the trailer? Yes. Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, it looks good. Amazing.
I can't wait.
There's criticism that it's like they're missing an opportunity to sort of contemporize the you know, West Side Story and bring in Black Lives Matter kind of plot lines into it. But we don't know, because there actually has been a production that did bring in racism and more contemporary topics into West Side Story. And there's my understanding is that the film is based more on that current Broadway production. So we really don't know what to expect.
But the music is the same, right? Leonard Bernstein, right?
Yes. Who's gay, you know? And then, of course, In the Heights hit theaters and HBO Max this past week. And there's been a lot of mixed reception about it, because the film isn't as inclusive as, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda's past works like Hamilton have been. And even though it was his Broadway debut, and certainly it's what made Lin-Manuel Miranda a household name in Broadway and musical theater, they sort of miss an opportunity to bring in a more visual representation of what it is to be Latinx and Afro-Latino in Washington Heights. Because
The main criticism, is about the people, the leads, except for one, are also all very light skinned. Light skinned Latinos.
Yeah, I did see the article by Rita Moreno's. Which I guess she was on one of the late night shows and mentioned it and kind of took some heat for it, but at the same time, it brought up a good point. But at the same time, and I'm like,
what did Rita Moreno
pick your battles?
She said, leave Lin-Manuel Miranda alone.
She said she should have been in the original production of West Side Story.
She should have. Cheetah Rivera was the who originated the role.
The original, and then
she played her in the film.
Yeah, because she was her understudy or the side one. Yeah, there was a big feud about Cheetah Rivera. Was really mad.
She's still dancing, right?
They're both still dancing.
Yeah. The legs are the last to go, they say.
And so the thing about it is, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda has done a lot of things right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Hamilton the musical is an extraordinary masterpiece. He's brought in all kinds of hip hop and rap music into audiences that don't normally consume it.
But he erased Alexander Hamilton's queerness, right?
His bisexuality, yeah. So there is
a. But he's done a lot for blue casting too, blue sky casting. You know, having, you know, not really caring what race plays what role, or even going specific, which is not a new thing, you know, reverse casting, said, you know, this would be much more powerful if this was an African-American actor, to show that dichotomy of, you know, the old American white founding fathers image being turned on its head.
Well, so except when it comes to In the Heights, then he's back to his old habits. And, you know, and In the Heights has a very traditional casting in the sense that it is sort of the Disneyfication of, you know, the Latinx barrio in Washington Heights.
Right.
And you're having, you know, the film is very, very overexposed. The people are skinny.
Right.
They have fabulous hairdos and clothing. Everybody knows how to do choreography. You know, and certainly.
Yeah, it's a musical.
And, you know, certainly the background dancers are more diverse than the main cast. But, you know, there could be more representation because he's had more representation in the past.
Right. But I don't fault him for that. And because it's fantasy world. This is what we're dealing with.
So you're saying your fantasy world, everybody's light-skinned. Is that what you're saying,
Bill? No.
Well, you know, he did say he's listening. He did apologize. He said, you know, it was something that, you know, we'll look for in the future, that kind of thing. And other people are saying, you should not have to apologize. What you did is fantastic. But, you know, there's always room for growth. And, you know, is it Lin-Manuel Miranda, is it his fault? Or is it, you know, is it the system's fault? Like, what's happening? Why are there not more Afro-Caribbean actors
Any movie?
Yeah, in any movie.
This is the thing. Like, I'm like, why are we scrutinizing In the Heights? I mean, I don't see this conversation happening for any other movie.
Yeah.
And
probably
nice to see Dominique Jackson in there. She's Afro-Caribbean.
Yeah. She could have played the
new Evan Hansen movie.
What?
I disagree. I was like, the other controversy to me, the bigger one, is why Ben Platt is playing Evan Hansen in the new Evan Hansen movie.
Oh, shit.
He's almost 30 now.
He's they playing have to CGI high school his student. Face
to look him younger.
Well, he originated the role, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's but he's almost in his 30s now. This isn't Grease.
It's Dear Evan Hansen. He's the new Stalker Channing.
Yeah. And I was like, I'd rather Stalker Channing play this role than Ben Platt.
Listen, I one day look forward to playing a teenager in a motion picture.
For the record, Stalker Channing was 28 years old when she played Rizzo in Grease.
That's the same age I am in. I could do the role, too.
Evan Hansen? Yeah. No, you can't do it.
I could do Rizzo easily.
Well, the thing is, though, like, are they
Rizzo, yeah.
Are they doing any technology? Because, like, nowadays, it's very easy to make somebody look younger.
They CGI'd his face.
Did they really?
To make him look younger. Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
No, nothing against Ben Platt.
They did that with Pee Wee
Herman. I love Ben Platt. I think he's super talented. I really liked his last single from his last album, Rain. I thought it was very good. I think he's got a super huge career ahead of him. Nothing against Ben Platt. But to me, you know, on Broadway, you can cheat. You need an older actor to play young because of just what's required of you, you know, physically and vocally. Mm-hmm. But for the film, there's so many talented young actors there and young actors of color. That are out there that can pull off this role. Maybe
they'll reverse it and kind of like digitally remove him like they did Kevin Spacey in that replace him with Tig Notaro in that zombie movie.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, you know, with High School Musical, the High School Musical franchise and Glee, it kind of brought back public interest and appetite for musical theater in television and film. The problem is it's a Disney schmaltzy, you know, as I think someone calls it, a resort vacation type of musical theater. It's not a gritty, it's not a, a very stylized version. It's a very homogenized, very sterilized version of musical theater.
Right. And that's been the issue. I think a lot, I mean, people forget, you know, that, you know, initially Broadway, and I think still does, it's escapism, and you've had some serious and more controversial issues being brought into Broadway to make it more realistic, but ultimately it's escapism, and I still think there's room for that. I did see a couple episodes of the High School Musical, the musical, the TV show.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was ready to just punch my computer. I was like, I can't. Children should not watch this. It's that bad.
Well, and you watched Degrassi High.
Degrassi.
Okay, no. Totally dead. There's no musical numbers in Degrassi. They tackle serious teen issues. You know, JT.
Do you still watch it?
R.I.P. Oh, there's a whole channel on Pluto now that do nothing but Degrassi 24/7. So, you know, once in a while.
Love it. Still watch it. That's amazing.
They're having a reunion right now. They're doing a huge, it was like a, not like a Comic-Con, but another kind of con, and they're doing a 20-year anniversary, and I wish I could be there, but I can't get into Canada.
Within the Heights, Mark Anthony has a cameo as the sort of the deadbeat dad of Usnavi's sidekick in the, you know, and there's a scene with, you know, Anthony Ramos and Mark Anthony, and everybody was gasping because Mark Anthony put his body and soul, like he had a physical transformation to look like a wasted, washed out. Do you think
they CGI'd him though?
I don't know if they did, but
he's super skinny. He looks, you know,
I mean, he looked fucked up.
He looks like a user and a loser, as Strangers with Candy would say.
And people were just like gasping when Sabo says, like, he's poor man is starving to death. He's like, looks, and maybe that I was thinking about that, you know, because we celebrated Puerto Rican Pride, and Mark and I, we went to have some Puerto Rican food, and half of the food is fried. And
oh, yeah.
And I feel like in terms of realistic representations, a lot of the cast of In the Heights were way too skinny.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
yeah, was there nobody like, curves, like, you know, that,
yeah,
that those white, you know, tank top t-shirts with stains on them with a shirt over it, kind of just trying to hide that belly. To me, that's realism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for part of me is like, there is something really fun and cool in seeing these musical numbers taking place in locations and circumstances and in a cast that don't normally represent them, you know? And I feel like In the Heights had, was a missed opportunity to show that sort of a wonderful, you know, combination, right? Seeing thick Puerto Rican girls dancing is a lot more fun than seeing three ballerinas dancing, you know, to a number. It's just, it's, we can see, you know, musical theater anytime. We can see those trained dancers all the time, but seeing somebody who normally moves in that way would be interesting visually. And I don't think that it would detract from people wanting to see the movie. I think, you know, they had a very conservative, very traditionalist view of In the Heights because it is more personalized of a story. And I think, you know, like Lin-Manuel Miranda was more comfortable in doing experimental things with Alexander Hamilton's story because it is something more abstract and more removed. Mm-hmm. And it was also a project that came as a result of his performance for the Obama administration at the White House. So those are two different animals. I think, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is fantastic and I love his work. And I have a very personal connection to In the Heights. It's a musical that me and my mother went to see that was highly recommended by Terrence McNally at a time. And we saw it just when it was getting its feet wet on Broadway. And, you know, we saw that like half the theater was empty. You know, and we loved it. And there was like some scenes like the piraguero, the piragua guy, the snow cone guy, where in the beginning of the musical, he's like lamenting the fact that he's competing against the Mr. Softy truck. And then in the second half of the musical, the Softy, Mr. Softy truck breaks down and he gets to raise his prices.
And make some money.
And make some money during the blackout when everybody's hot. And so there's this wonderful fleshing out of that character that we see in the musical that is not in the film. And Lin-Manuel Miranda plays that role and he robs himself of that
second scene.
That second scene.
I thought maybe I went to the bathroom when it happened, but no. I really loved his fight with that, with the
Mr. Softy
guy. But Bill, do you think this is a good drag name? Lin-Manuel Miranda Priestley? Foster didn't like it, or I don't think he gets it.
I like Foster, Rachel Foster, Diversity.
Who's Miranda Priestley?
Miranda Priestley?
Yeah.
Shit, she's from The Devil's Wears Prada.
Okay.
It took me a second.
I thought you'd know, but yeah. And you can spell Lynn.
That is all. M-E. That is all.
It's not a question.
That is not a question.
Yes or no for that, for drag name?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Lin-Manuel Miranda Priestley.
Yes.
Or Rachel Tensions. I'm sorry, not Rachel Tensions, Rachel Diversity. Because that was RuPaul's name.
Rachel Tensions
was in Too Wong Fu.
And you can do Rachel Diversity, but it has to be played by a white drag queen.
Has to be.
They're like, I saw many shades of eye makeup. Que calor. Que yeah, I enjoyed watching it. A lot of Latinx folks are enjoying watching the movie. It's certainly going to, it's made its money. And certainly it's not going to hold back on in the box office or in future projects. But it is, to me, I was like, I wish there was a more nuanced conversation about this. It does feel like a little bit of astroturfing because, you know, Black and Latinx people in New York City are united against fighting the system. And then all of a sudden there's these think pieces that are popping up and being like pointing out the lack of racial diversity. The drag queen and In the Heights. And I thought it was like, you know, there's more to this movie than just that. And there's a lot of, you know, ways the movie doesn't succeed. And also the ways the movie does succeed. And it diminishes the complexity of this project and the ways that the project can be better and also succeed.
It's not financially successful.
It made enough money on its opening box office weekend. I think it, what was the take? Was like
not very much.
It was like 6 million, pesos? Wasn't it?
No, they say HBO. These are the headlines. Yeah. HBO Max isn't to blame after In the Heights fizzles at box office. In the Heights was a box office disappointment.
What was the budget and the what's the take on the opening?
I'd have to do a little bit more research on that.
What I because I looked at it and it was acceptable. Mm-hmm. It didn't make its money back in the opening weekend, but most films do not. Okay, you know? So. And that might be another, you know, it's like Lin-Manuel Miranda is canceled. His career's over, blah, 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 you know.
Well, no, considering the, you know, the fact that a lot of boxes offices weren't even open.
Yeah.
Everybody's relying on
my box is always open.
And your floors are sticky.
Oh, honey, they're mopped and wet. Oh, so
the popcorn's good, though.
So moving on to let's talk about the eyes of Elmo.
You know, the eyes of Elmo,
the little doll, the Muppet, the red Muppet on Sesame Street, oh, yeah. Arguably the most popular character on Sesame Street ever. Mm-hmm. This week, yeah. Sesame Street introduced two gay dads on its Family Day episode. And of course, once again, Elmo's like, what is homosexuality? Let me give you a list of the shit Elmo has seen to let this poor
little doll.
Elmo, above all the other Muppets, has been through war. Okay. War is stupid and people are stupid. Elmo was originally given to Richard Hunt, the gay Muppeteer who died from AIDS, who created Scooter from the Muppet Show, right?
Yeah.
He was given then to Kevin Clash, who had to resign from his job in Sesame Street over a drug and sex scandal. Yeah. He also saw Jim Henson die from complications of strep. He saw Sesame Street struggle with ratings and its possible cancellation over the success of Barney.
Elmo saved Sesame Street.
Elmo saved Sesame Street.
Oh, he really did.
Elmo had to interact with Kami, the HIV positive Muppet. And most recently, Elmo had to take on Black Lives Matter with Muppets Elijah and Wesley to talk about racism. This poor
was
Elmo Muppet.
Around?
What?
I don't remember that.
It's
maybe
just
in my
new.
Memory
it's like a couple right. months old. Mm. So
when Elmo was around when Jim Henson died, I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wasn't like a main character, but he was definitely. Kevin Clash was at the funeral, so yeah.
Okay. And Elmo, we talked to the guy who wrote the book Sesame Street Gang, and he says that Elmo was developed because Sesame Street was shocked. The children were watching Barney. They're like, what is the appeal of Barney? And they lost a lot of viewership to Sesame Street, to Barney, and they almost got canceled. And so they developed Elmo as a way to bring kids back in. And I don't know if you remember when Elmo first hit the scene, kids went crazy for him. They just identified
I remember
with his
that.
Look and his voice and everything. Yeah.
But I remember the development of Elmo, like he was a background character and he didn't have that high pitched voice quite yet. He was just one of the monsters.
Yeah, that was
then,
Richard Hunt's voice. That's when Elmo
and then
smokes.
One day it just
he's like, this
and
is
then
Elmo.
It's one day it's and then one day it switched and the voice I think is what caught. the kids recognize that higher pitched voice.
Mm-hmm. That's Kevin Clash's genius.
Sit up and pay attention.
Yeah. And so this week they introduced two gay dads, and I guess they were not Muppets.
Bert and Ernie? Elijah. Is it Bert and Ernie?
No, it's not Bert and Ernie. You wish.
You think so. No. You think.
Nina is a character, and she introduced her brother and his husband, and as well as their daughter, played by Olivia Perez, to Elmo and all the friends that are celebrating Family Day. Because families come in all shapes and sizes and genders and spectrums.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that make you happy? Or you're like, I don't give a fuck.
Who's Nina? Which one's Nina?
She's some character on Sesame Street.
I don't know. I haven't watched Sesame Street in years. Even though I went and saw the documentary.
She's Latina.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to remember all the human characters. Like, I remember Gordon, and well, of course, when Mr. Hooper, when he passed away.
I know, and poor Big and then, Bird.
Oh,
he was really shaken up. When's Mr. Hooper coming back? Big Bird, Mr. Hooper is not coming back. He's dead.
That's basically what they said. Yeah. Like, I remember as a kid being like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Who's going to tell us stories?
Who's going to make me bird seed milkshakes? Oh. And I'm like, you drink that shit?
Yeah. And they're like, we will. Other people.
And then the weird part was, I remember when Big Bird was on, what's the lip sync battle?
What?
Did you see that?
That was it happy, yeah, Big Bird.
Big Bird was on Lip Sync Battle.
Yeah.
He went up against Jason Schwartzman, and I was crying. It was so powerful. Like, to see, because Chrissy Teigen, they brought their John Legend, they brought their kid, and she was like, oh, and then, of course, they have a bunch of cameos for his big number, and it was amazing. I'd be watching on YouTube. It's one of those things where, like, if I'm in a bad mood, I'll watch Big Bird on Lip Sync Battle.
Just be warned, he is lip syncing for his life, and he loses.
Do you remember artist JoJo Baby? And he made remember Bjork's swan dress that she wore to the Oscars? JoJo Baby made a Big Bird dress, the similar kind of style.
Oh, that's right.
His mentor, Greer Langton, worked for Children's Television Workshop and was part of the team that built the first Big Bird.
Oh, really?
And Greer Langton used to tell JoJo Baby, it's like, I used to fucking sew those yellow feathers all the time. It was a pain in the ass.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And she's got a lot of stuff at the Warhol Museum. I think they have her studio or something in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is Project Runway coming back? I'm waiting on that one.
So Project Runway, they have
ran away.
I think that they're still doing it, but the other one that they're doing now is Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum do something on Amazon, which I watched.
Right, I saw the first season of that, and I was like, meh.
The next season is coming soon. I believe it should be probably out any day now. But you think?
Have you been keeping up with all the drag races?
No.
Well, I'm noticing that a lot of reality TV shows are starting to incorporate drag queens into their own challenges and stuff like that. So, like, we're going to see drag queens on Survivor, on The Bachelor, on all those cooking shows. And, you know, it's like, it's Drag Race universe. Yeah.
I mean, we watch Drag Race, of course, but I haven't. I think All Stars is starting soon, but I'm not really sure if I'll watch it.
It's too much to follow.
There's a lot to follow. And there's I have friends that they watch the Spain, they watch the Netherlands, they watch the UK one and the Canada one. And it's like, I love Priyanka, who won in Canada. And I think she's gorgeous. And she's on the cover of Elle in Canada. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
So,
she is gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. And she posted something. She had a beautiful picture on Twitter of her niece looking at the photo of herself on Twitter. And she's just like, I'm just so glad that, you know, little girls everywhere can see someone like me on Elle.
I'm glad that little girls everywhere can see photos of me, too, on Instagram.
But, you know, it says something. You know, you have a person of color. You have a person, I'm not sure how, you know, she probably identifies as trans somewhere
on the spectrum.
Non-binary. Yeah. If you're a drag queen, you know, you're under that T umbrella. And so, you know, it's wonderful. And it shows that the world is changing in so many ways.
Well, you know, Valentina, she came out as trans after she filmed In the Heights.
Yeah, she's presenting as full on boy-ish.
She's a very butch version of herself in The Heights. In the you'll blink and you miss it in the salon scene.
I'd say the most butch I've ever seen her.
Ever.
Yeah.
Does she have like a beanie cap on, or like, hey, take that beanie cap off? And she's like, no, I'd rather keep it on, please.
Well, she's kind of like been a pioneer with the face mask thing. Yeah. Like to keep it on, please.
Yeah, that's caught on. Yeah. Go figure.
Well, when we met Valentina, I think you can actually see even on her Instagram, we were at DragCon and she comes walking over. This is before she was even on Drag Race or anything, walking over these enormous high heels, basically like in a bathing suit. And she's like, Mark and Fausto. And we're just like, hi. Yeah, that's awesome.
And yeah, so we took this photo together. I just thought she was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't think anything of it. And then next season, people were like, oh my God, you know Valentina? I'm like, who? and so they were like sharing that photo with me. I completely had forgotten that mm-hmm. we took it.
Yeah.
Like wow. completely. And so I was like, oh, that turned out to be a drag queen. I thought it was like some showgirl from Mexico, you know, who was trying to get gigs in Los Angeles.
Right.
You sound like my grandfather when I took him to see Legends and or whatever the drag show in Vegas before RuPaul was there. What was it?
Legends. Was it? No,
Frank, wasn't it Legends?
Frank Moreno's Legends.
Frank Moreno's.
Yeah.
Yeah. We took my grandfather because nobody knew what to do. So I was like, let's go see Legends. So like, I just want to see the drag queens. And me, my dad, and my uncle, and my grandfather. And he was like, how did we get tickets to this? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, we saw Cher. We saw Whoopi Goldberg. I'm like, no, Grandpa, they were all drag queens.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does he have dementia?
Lie. Just let him believe the lie.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah, he was so happy. He was like, he lived a full life and he got to see Cher live.
I just shared one of her tweets the other day. She just tweeted, "Hey,
hey, Cher, just say hi,
hey."
And then Paris was like, "I remember the funny days of Feast of Fun when you used to impersonate her."
Oh,
I was like, I completely forgot about Cher's tweets or tweets.
Tweets. Hi, well, you know, you run with a bit and then you got to retire it and then you can bring it back. It's got to be fresh to somebody, right?
Now I know how Lin-Manuel Miranda feels like within the Heights. He's like, I'm sick of that show. Pete Agua, shove it up your ass.
Well, I'm excited for
what?
Whatchamacallit? There's something about Jamie or. They're talking about Jamie. What's that one?
Who
is that? The production that Bianca Del Rio is in the West End.
Or was yes.
It? Yes.
What musical are you talking about?
There's something about Jamie. And it's basically, it's a 16-year-old kid in England and he wants to be a drag queen.
Oh,
so it's Billy Elliot, but with drag queens.
Right. And he's like, his best friend is this Muslim girl and the teacher's racist against the Muslims. And of course his parents are separated and she's all for him becoming a drag queen and he's, you know, doesn't want a gay son. And then he meets this old drag queen and kind of, you know, becomes the drag mother. And it's fantastic. It's great.
How'd you see it?
Girl, I got my ways. Don't be giving around my secrets.
Send me the link.
He's
baby.
A famous comedian who travels before the pandemic.
Mm.
You know, it's like,
I do with my clout.
It's like going to like Mateo Lane. It's like, hey, I noticed you met all these celebrities. How did that happen?
I yell at my non-existent assistant, Beth, I need that tape, that Jamie tape.
Well, I remember Cameron Esposito, she used to come here and we used to gossip about those secret lesbian pool parties that Ellen and Rosie used to throw. Then she got invited to them. She doesn't talk about them anymore. She's like, what pool parties? I don't know what you're talking about.
Secret lesbian parties.
And I like roll tape. And she's still like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I haven't been invited anywhere.
It's weird. Like once you become like so famous, it's like what Mark said, to love somebody, to be in a relationship with somebody for long periods of time is to go through 1,000 funerals or 1,000 rebirths. Because that person that you expected to be doesn't grow up to be that person, or that person you expected ceases to exist.
Yeah, and they change. Mourn their death every day because they always change, you know?
And thankfully for all of us, we're about the same place we were 30 years ago.
Right.
We're still hags, only just a little bit more wrinkles and gray hair. Well, I mean, I dyed mine out and Botox takes care of the rest.
Botox. You're not supposed to take that orally.
Oh, now you tell me. And then I think I did it. I went to the Botox in my mouth.
Did you ever see like what was that TV show they had like a 500 a thousand ways to die or something? And one of the people got Botox. She got Botox and then went into the hot tub, and I guess she had had too much Botox and it kind of paralyzed her. So then she just kind of like
no, she boiled to death.
Sounds like bullshit. Urban legend.
No, these were all verified. And another one that kind of creeped me out too was like this guy, he invited this woman over and they decided to eat escargot, but like a sushi. And what they don't realize with escargot, you have to cook it. Otherwise, they have these weird parasites. And so they ate their brain.
Oh,
could you imagine having something eat your brain?
No. I don't know what that feels like.
Well, another great thanks for Mark for bringing down the room. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, Debbie Downer.
Well, how do you want to die, Bill?
Not with snails. And why would I think? I don't want to think about it. I have enough anxiety. Being around people and crowds, you want me to think about how I'm going
to
die?
So you're afraid you're going to get trampled to death?
At a buffet.
A blaze of glory. As a, remember me as a peacemaker.
Why did I bring that
up? I'm probably in a bathroom in a stadium.
Feast of Fun, not Feast of Funerals. Oh. The show used to be called Feast of Funerals, but then the sign wore off.
He got hit by a bike. He died.
She don't work here no more.
Aw.
That was one on the 1,000 ways to die. You're riding a bike and hitting a podcast sign.
Turn right for a podcast.
Bill, where are you living these days now?
Oh, I'm in the beautiful and luxurious Cypress Park behind Dodger Stadium.
Oh, what, wow. So you walk to the baseball field?
Oh, no. Well, I'm on the other side of the river, so I can't walk.
Okay.
You can swim.
Cypress Park is a it's a mostly Latino, historical Latino neighborhood. It was pretty rough, not more than 20 years ago, but now it sits between like the highway plus the LA River, and then there's a mountain, and then behind the mountain is Dodger Stadium, and then to the opposite side is another mountain. So it's like this little valley, and on that mountain, there's rich people are building homes like crazy on that mountain. So because of that, Cypress Park just kind of got the benefits of it by getting great internet and great infrastructure. So all of a sudden the property values here went up, and now there's a Starbucks not too far from here. There's bigger grocery stores. And so the families that grew up here when it was a little rougher, there was a lot of gang activity here. They stayed in their homes, and now
heralded by you.
No.
Well, I mean, the thing about this, girl. Like, you know,
I've only been there 7 years.
But we, like, you know, as
I've only been here a year. Mm-hmm. I was in East Hollywood earlier, Now I'm now here for a year, and it's nice. And, you know, these families, their property values are going up, and we've seen a couple of houses sell for ridiculous amounts of money.
Well, I was thinking about this, you know, because with our success, our collective success as queer Latinx entertainers, inevitably there is this kind of compromise that happens that like more people see us and more people trust us and think of us as an extended family. And so, you know, some people criticize that as the homogenification, the Disneyfication of Latinx and queer culture. It comes hand in hand. If America thinks of you as lovable, they're not going to be like hating you as much, and with that comes different challenges, you know. And I'm thinking about that like with Lin-Manuel Miranda, with West Side Story. I mean, this is a big year for Latinx films in general, and you know, it's like as your career continues to grow, it's like, do you ever feel like you wish you were back at the Lincoln Lodge or the Feast of Fools show, and just all you had to worry about is like where to get your beers that night? Or
ultimately, because you know, the other option is then doing kind of a rudimentary circuit, which is still there, and I'd rather stay away from, meaning the more stereotypical Hispanic comedian role, if you will, that whatever they call the rice and bean circuit, you know.
A rice and bean circuit and no one invited me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Chico and the Man kind of thing? Like we were talking about 1970s?
Yeah, that kind of that kind of Freddie expected into where I think we've evolved from that as a culture, that we don't have to play that role per se of that, oh, I'm poor, or oh, I got beat by my parents, that kind of stereotype that I think still exists. And, you know, I think it's by moving forward, I'd rather do that than go backwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And part of it is like, it's being part of the world and being seen as an equal, and, you know, and, you know,
and if we want to be accepted, I think it's a change of narrative. Uh-huh. You know, we have to change our narrative, and yeah, we have to know who our audience is. And I think by doing that, I think you stay true to yourself. I think there's a lot of different ways about it. I mean, if someone comes up and goes, hey, we want you to be in this sitcom to play the crazy neighbor, we'll pay you, you know, $10 million. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, give me the, oh no, I'm crazy neighbor, you know, for all day. It's, yeah. I mean, because ultimately we still live in a capitalist system, you know, and I'm not opposed to that either, because representation is representation. The more out there, then the more visual we are, the more that there are more of us, there's more voices in the system, then we move that bar even further. So like I said, the criticism about In the Heights, I'm like, I get it. It's an all Hispanic musical. Don't forget, we're moving the bar. Yeah, we can take these criticisms because they're important and we need to learn from them. But at the ultimate time, you know, we got to push forward. We got to move that bar.
Echa pa'lante.
Yeah, I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is very upset right now. He's crying on a big pile of money.
Right. And I'm sure. And that's the other thing. There's a bunch of casting directors getting fired right now. So, yeah, I'm not losing sleep over that either.
Well, you know, as long as you keep your Puerto Rican judo skills refined, you know what that is, right?
No, I'm from Denver.
Puerto Rican judo is, you don't know if I got a knife, you don't know if I got a gun, you don't know what kind of crazy shit I'm going to pull, baby.
See, now, Mark, this is what I was talking about, moving the bar forward, not backwards.
You know he's been doing that joke for 20 years.
I've been doing working that bit. I heard that joke in high school.
I was going to say, that joke's older than twice of your lifetimes. I was going to say, yeah, I think Don Rickles told that joke.
Don Rickles, I think it might have been a Don Rickles joke.
Just don't ask Fausto why he went to prison.
I assume it was to visit his dad.
Oh, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks for keeping it real.
We can edit that in post, right? You know,
I went to prison for stealing people's hearts.
Oh, hey. I think it's more county jail than prison.
Bill, are you going to come back to Chicago and do some sets?
We need you here, baby.
Everything's coming back. So I have a new job. So I have to build up my paid time off. Mm-hmm. My Vegas trip is planned because, you know, priorities. And
blackjack.
Exactly. Broncos.
Yeah.
And then obviously trying to get home for Christmas. And usually the plan was always to go to Chicago for the Super Bowl, to watch it in the bars. So hopefully I can get there before then and actually enjoy the weather.
When's the Super Bowl coming?
Probably late January.
Super Bowl is always in February.
Yeah. February, they moved it. It used to always be in January, and then my birthday is February 2nd, and now sometimes it lands right on my birthday. I never had that problem growing up in, like, what is it, 12 years ago, I think they moved it, and I'm just like, goddamn football.
I should know when the Super Bowl is, because that was our first podcast date.
Yeah.
February 8th, 2005.
Mm-hmm. Used to be end of January, and then they extended the season a couple games, so I pushed it into February.
So, and they don't want to push it towards Valentine's Day because that's going to ruin a bunch of relationships. So I think it's going to be there for a while, unless they move it to the end of February and extend the season a little further and make some more of that coin tata.
Oh, no. I think the players union is definitely against extending it to any more games, even though the NFL wants to. Yeah. Just due to player safety.
Yeah. But Bill, money.
Yeah. Bill, it's so good talking to you. Thank you so much for keeking with us and, you know, throwing all these witty comments.
I'm glad you made it through the COVID pandemic and are out going to do some more comedy again and get out there and let them have it.
Let them have it. Thank you, guy. I mean, you know, it's one of those things you always forget the people that you can't forget the people that supported you from the beginning. And you guys have been there since the start. So
but I'm still supporting you now.
You ever need anything?
Well, no, I'll have your check tomorrow. You have Zelle?
PayPal, Cash App.
The best way to support the podcast is to become a Plus member, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus. You have an ad-free experience. If you're experiencing ads and you're a Plus member, make sure to go to feastoffun.com/plus and copy that RSS feed, because that's your private one that's not going to have the ads on it.
Now, and Bill, if people do want to give you a tip or the whole 9 inches, they can do so at Cash App, Venmo, PayPal.
I've got Venmo and I've got Zelle. I guess you need my number for Zelle.
Go ahead and tell it if you want. If you...
No, I'm not going to give my number. Crazy. I don't give just... you my number.
All right. Well, listen, just message me on Facebook. Follow Bill on social media, right?
Yes, the Twitter.
I'm on Insta. I'm on the Twitter. It's a good time.
It's Bill
on
TikTok. Cruz loves the Broncos, even if they lose.
On Instagram, it's Bill Cruz Girl.
Bill Cruz Girl.
G-U-R-L.
G-U-R-L.
Girl.
Bill Cruz Girl. That's
so crazy.
Girl. That's another one of my new pronouns. Girl.
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 Gannon. Girl, and you don't know me.
And what's on Facebook, Hassel?
Bill Cruz Comedy.
Comedy, honey. Bueno, it was great talking
to
you. And
you'll know it's me because I'm the Mexican in the giant Broncos jacket. Can't miss me. And that's my happy pride.
Oh,
and
yes.
to everybody within my voice, if you're a lesbian, for God's sakes, please run for an office. I don't care if it's local or national or congressional. We got to get these idiots out of Washington. I want an all lesbian Congress so we can finally get some stuff done.
Yes. Come on.
And if you're a lesbian running for office, let me know. I will donate to your cause.
Oh, all shit.
Good for you, Bill.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's do it.
It's my new mantra. Lesbians in office.
Lesbians do get things done when it comes to government, right?
Right. It's get through with anything, let alone the government. They're going to get it done.
But they always have to have lots of meetings about it.
Yeah. Well, you
need... Who cares? Let them have all the meetings, all the folders. I will serve croissants or whatever. I don't know what lesbians eat for breakfast, but I'm sure it's something...
They'll have a 12-week workshop where they break down the boundaries between performer and audience. And then have 12 opinion editorial pieces about it. And then have
how do I read all of it?
You got to flesh these things out. You can't just act unilateral.
Then you'll have a trans-inclusive women's music and women and non-binary femme energy music festival. And then you'll have 6 brochures about that, but they're printed on recycled paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I need more microwave.
And what about microwaves?
Macrame. I need more macrame.
I thought you said we want to end the war against macrame. What? Is there a war against macrame?
I'm sure it's certain John fabrics that's true, but I don't know.
You know, it's like IML was supposed to happen last weekend for Memorial Day weekend, right?
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah,
we were thinking about, like, you know, somebody who does all those knots with the bondage fetish, the macro, mm-hmm. should like do an owl with the macrame and a potted plant.
You just don't see as much macrame as you used to.
I know.
Yeah.
Maldito sea.
There is a war against macrame.
Even in the thrift stores.
The other people won.
Yeah.
Yes.
Joanne won. Joanne Fabrics won.
Well, listen, the audio quality is dropping here. So thanks for talking to us, Bill. Thanks for coming on the show.
Love you guys. I'll see you as soon as if I go to Chicago. I'll let you guys know first thing.
Okay. Right. Wonderful. Look forward.
You can crash on our sofa, too.
Oh,
with Jesse.
On a sofa.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
You don't want to sleep with our dog?
He's so sweet.
Oh. No.
Bueno.
Take care, love.
Adios.
Love you guys. Take care. Be safe.
Bye-bye. Bill Cruz lives in... Where does he live?
Cyprus something or other in California.
Bill, are you still there? What was where you live?
I pulled it up on a map, but I think I closed it.
Oh.
Cyprus area. The Cyprus...
He lives in Los Angeles.
Cyprus Hill.
Something.
Yeah.
You can rewind the show. Listen to that part. Follow Bill Cruz
Cyprus Park mm-hmm.
in California, yes. Los Angeles.
You can find him at a bar somewhere watching football in Cyprus Park.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I love Bill. You know, Bill's part of our history. Bill is somebody who used to perform with our drag queen musical variety show with performance artists and a bunch of weirdos at the Vietnamese clubs, at these music venues.
He performed with Joan Jett Black. They were, they shared the same bill, and it was Bill Cruz. I think he was 21, 22 years old at the time, way back when. And he came in wearing a suit, like, I'm Bill, I'm going to tell jokes. They were like, wow, a gay comedian. It was, they were hard to come by back in the day.
And just like Joan Jett Black had a musical written about her life, now there's a musical being developed about Bill Cruz's life, where it's mostly just mariachi music and people watching football on television.
Aww.
It's called The Bill Cruz Story.
You're really good at that.
What?
What's the, how do you learn to do that?
I don't remember what that was came from, but
it,
I guess
it was wrestling.
No, it's not soccer. Wrestling. It's soccer. Goal.
No, but it's also when they introduce the Mexican wrestling, they do that as well.
I don't remember where that came from. Bill,
was it Sábado Gigante?
It maybe have been Sábado Gigante. You know, Bill and I, we go way back. You know, and you and I mean, you're also no Bill.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Bill almost as long as I've known you.
Yeah, and so you know. I don't remember where that came from, but I just love doing it. And it's like, it's the only bit I do with him. Like, I don't do it with anybody else.
Out every now and then. But Bill is like a nice long word.
Bill. You just got to save your breath for the rest.
Yeah.
Because I can do even longer if I prepare. Like, I'm sitting down. But if I plan, I can go 5 minutes.
Let's close the show right now. I want you to, you want to stand? I'll hold the microphone.
Oh my God, I can do it. Hold on a second. We can do this?
Okay.
No, I can do it. Hold on. Okay. You're going to time it, right?
All right, hold on a second.
All right, folks, remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you. You can go to feastoffun.com/donate and give us a tip or the whole nine inches. Consider donating to PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, slip into my DMs. I don't even know what that means. And you can also subscribe to our podcast wherever fine podcasts are found. Show your friends how to subscribe to Feast of Fun and be the first kid on your block to listen to our shows by becoming a premium subscriber at feastoffun.com/plus. And now,
all right,
ready?
Yep.
Yet.
It's 55 seconds.
I feel
like you didn't take a deep enough breath the first time. Let's do it.
My God, that's enough.
Let's just come on. Just take a deep
breath. Oh my God, no. We're done.
Okay, so
it was about a minute.
Seconds. Yeah.
Listen, that's enough. And you're going to kill me. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.